The following discussion occurred on January 16, 1967, in the community building at Westcliff, Colorado. Present were Rich Ryberg and Russ Farnsworth from Florence, and the subject of the interview was Mrs. Mary Ellen Roscoe of Westcliff.
January 16, 1967, and we're in Westcliff in the community building. With us today we have Miss Ellen
Mary
Ross.
Mary Ellen Roscoe.
Mary Ellen Roscoe.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you will, first of all, that you go by Ellen, right?
Mary Ellen.
Or Mary Ellen, okay. Would you, you have these two photographs, which we will be copying in the future. Would you give us any information that you might have about those two photographs?
Well, this, the Palace Saloon is in Carita, and I think Mr. Putnam and Mr. Ed Levitt, Ralph Buffington, and my grandfather, George White, is on this picture.
Okay. Where was this building located in relation to the old Bassett Mine?
Well, this is right across from the Bassett Mine. This is right on the main street. There were seven saloons in Carita at one time.
Now, is this south or is this west of the mine?
This would be west of the mine.
Okay, good. Now, how about that other picture that you have there?
Well, this is a ball game that was played in Carita and sometime in the 1800s, and it was, that would be east of Carita, up on the flat, just as you come into Carita.
Mm-hmm. Do you know any of those individuals that were possibly in that group for that baseball team?
Mr. Joe Fisher told me that he thought that one of these was Mr. Barnham.
Okay. Now, I understand you work with the museum in Silvercliff.
That's right. I take care of the museum in Silvercliff in the summertime when Mrs. Curtis is not available. Curtis and Mr. Curtis has taken care of the museum for quite a few years. I've taken care of it for 3 years.
Okay. Now, I'd like you to dig back in your memory. This project mainly concerns information as far back as we can get of people you knew, names you might recall, any particular mining incidents or anything like this, any good old saloon brawls that you happen to remember your parents telling you about, or people coming into the area, anything as far back as you can remember about the people and the miners and the ranchers and the railroad men. Just start thinking back and talking out loud so we can get this on tape.
You know, this is kind of hard for me to do because I never kept anything down. I know a lot of the history, but I've never kept too much of it down.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Sperry was the doctor in Carita in the early days. See, the county seat was in Rosita first. No, in Ulay first, and then Rosita, then Silvercliff, now Westcliff.
I see. And he was a physician, was he?
He was a physician in Carita.
Do you know anything about his background, where he came from, or what nationality he was?
No, I sure don't. I just know that he was just quite a doctor. He drank pretty hard, and he took care of all the people there. And
how long ago did he leave, or did he die here?
Oh, well, that's been many, many years before I can even remember.
He you don't remember any of the things he did?
No, I sure don't. Just that he was the doctor when I was born.
Okay, how about, what did your parents do?
My grandfather came from Central City in early days to Rosita in about 1880, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a miner. My mother was born in Rosita in 1881.
And what were their last names?
White.
This was White.
White.
Okay. Which mine did he work in?
Well, he worked in those mines at Rosita, the Humboldt, and those for a while, and then he moved out to Carita and took up a ranch and worked in the Bassett mine. He took up lots of mining claims, and he was he could direct people to these places where the veins run, and he used to just go and tell them when they were mining where to dig. He was just like a geologist. He worked in the mines quite a lot, and Oh, we used to think that it was just Grandpa. We didn't pay much attention to him. And now, since I see all this and all, I wish I'd have paid more attention to my grandfather.
Did he use the witch for water?
Yes.
And was he good at it?
Yes. I could tell her. He'd take that forked stick and walk with it in his hands and where the water would turn. And yes, he witched a lot of wells.
How many times did he miss out of the times he hit? Would you have any idea?
I just had no idea of that.
That's interesting. Would he do this to find the veins of ore when he was digging?
No, I think he studied the rocks and the way they run in the mountains.
I think he would have to.
Yeah, I don't think he witched for this. He could just about find these gold chimneys and all that by directing them in. He'd dig a little and then he'd study these veins and the ore, and he could just about tell where the ore was.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
Okay, now, you say for a while you lived in town and then you bought a ranch. Right around there, your grandparents did, right?
Well, my grandfather took up a ranch out there at Carita.
At Carita.
In the early days, I don't know, just... we could go to the courthouse and get that, but I never have.
That's right around Carita, though. Which direction do you recall?
Well, it would be north of Carita.
North, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you remember anything particular about the old Bassett mine that was unusual, or just give us some of your recollections, what you've heard tell about it, for instance?
Well, there was an awful big payroll at Bassett at one time. They took out a lot of coal, and it was 1,800 feet deep, and the tunnels run all out and under it. And, there's 1,700 feet of water in it. The water in the mountain already does.
1,700 feet of water.
It's 1,800 feet deep and there's 1,700 feet of water in it.
That's now.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That old shaft is full of water.
Well, be darned.
What a well.
Where does that water go to from there? I suppose down to Hardscrabble? That water that's...
Well, it doesn't come out to... It doesn't run out, I don't think. Just kind of stands there. It may seep. Yeah, I imagine it would go down that Johnson's Gulch. I imagine that's the stream from it. It goes right down through to the Arkansas River.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, we had Dr. Sperry. Do you remember any other physicians that were in the area, or perhaps a traveling dentist that might have come through, something like
this? No, they had a paper there one time, and they had a paper in Rosita. And there was 5 papers in Silvercliff at one time, 2 dailies and 3 weeklies.
Is that right?
And there was 10,000 people in Silvercliff, and almost going to be in the capital with 2 or 3 votes.
Now, is there any way that we might get pictures of some of these old papers? Are there any copies left that you are aware of?
Mm-hmm, yes, in the museum there's several papers in there.
Good, because that's always good information. 1 in Carita and 5 in Silvercliff.
We have an old printing press and the museum that printed the Independence in Rosita in the early days, and then was taken to Silvercliff and printed to Russell, and then it was taken down here to Westcliff and was used till 1930. Belongs to Joe Payton.
Mm-hmm.
This is the man that had a
camera, Rich, and down. Photograph it.
This is the old printer, you say?
No.
Joe
has it.
He has
Joe
a printer that was.
And he has it in the museum in Silvercliff.
I see.
Hi.
Now, give me that. Well, we got it on tape, so we got there. I missed part of what you said.
You may have to take some more. This man run the dry goods store in Silvercliff.
Phillips.
George Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
And in his store, they had the post office. There was a post office and a bank, hotels, opera house.
Is any of this building left?
No.
Was it moved out, or did it burn down, or what?
It was moved out, I imagine. The McClure Hotel in Canyon City, it was one hotel that was in Silver Cliff, and the Westcliff Hotel was moved down from Silver Cliff.
Did I understand you to say they moved that building clear from Silver Cliff to Canyon City?
Well, I think they tore it down. I think they took it. It was a brick building, I believe, and I think they tore it down.
And then they did that with an awful lot of buildings from Rosita and Silver Cliff, tear them down and rebuild them down on farms and different places.
A lot of them moved off, too. Now, this hotel here in Westbrook was moved down by a winch.
That's the hotel here? Okay.
Yeah, that's right. And the Mason's Hall was moved from West Cliff. It's set right directly across in front of the museum. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of the houses.
Now, wait a minute. You said the Mason's building...
That's here.
What's from Silver Cliff?
We're from Silver Cliff.
Okay.
The Mason Lodge still goes by Silver Cliff.
They call it the Silver Cliff.
Well, that's good.
Mr. Schultz was telling us about moving some of those buildings from Silver Cliff over.
Yes, I imagine he can remember it.
He can. It was quite a job.
Yeah.
We'll try to get him again and have him tell about things.
Both the Catholic Church and the Episcopalian Church was moved from Silver Cliff down here, too. These two churches, that's right here now.
Catholic and Episcopalian.
That's
and the
right.
Catholic, and started in Rosita. He just went all over the country.
There's a moving church.
Well, so
a moving
the Episcopalian Church in Rosita first, moved to Silver Cliff, and then moved to West Cliff.
Well, now, did they move the building, actually, from Rosita?
Yes.
Now, they say the Episcopalian and the Catholic both started in Rosita, and then to Silver Cliff, and then here.
Uh-huh.
That's something. I've heard of the preacher moving, but I didn't know he took his building with him.
And the congregation.
And the congregation.
I wonder if they sat in the pew while the horses
sprang. In the museum, we have a picture of the Catholic Church. When they first moved it down here, they moved it way out here on the flat. They thought West Cliff, when it was built up, see, there was no West Cliff, and Silver Cliff was booming big. It built up after the railroad came in here to West Cliff, then from West Cliff. So they thought that this would be the big town, and they moved the Catholic Church way out there on the flat. They thought the town would reach way out there. Well, it didn't reach that far, so they moved it back here to town.
Do you recall, back in the early days, the activities of the various denominations and the relative strengths, say, of the, was it a big Lutheran congregation or the Episcopalians a big group or the Catholic or whatever it might be?
Well, I think at first in Silver Cliff, from all the history I read, that the Episcopalians was really the biggest main church in town at that time.
In Silver Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then the Lutheran church, see, the colony came in even before the rest of the built here. Up here, Colfax was the colony, where the colony, they had a little town out there, the German town.
Now, which direction is that?
South.
That's south of here.
Mm-hmm. And they built the first Lutheran church that was built in the state of Colorado out there. I have a picture of it up in the middle.
Remember when that was?
Well, I sure do. You know?
This is about a
United Colony.
And you have a picture.
I have a picture in the museum, and we can get the picture open wide. I think the date's on it.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you could get that too, I guess, if it's dark and you can get it.
Yeah, this is better than getting it here, though.
Yeah.
They know what they're talking about. Better have that on the tape, right? Give you a hot water. Okay, that's good. So the first Lutheran church down there, and then you say Episcopalian was stronger over in here. What other groups were present?
The Catholic. And you know, there were several other churches that I was in. I think there was even a few more in here in the early days. And Mr. Keating came from Denver this summer, and he told me about some religious happenings that was in Silver Cliff in early days that I never knew about.
Like what?
Well, I've kind of forgotten the names of them. The churches that I didn't know about. Now, he was the grandson of Mr. Haskell. And Mr. Haskell was the foreman on the Geyser Mine. Geyser Mine is the mine in Silver Cliff. They found horn silver there in the early days, a very high-grade silver. and Mr. Haskell was the foreman, and J.D. Gould put up the money for the mine. And his grandson was here from Denver last summer and brought a lot of pictures, which he was to send to me, but he never has. But I think he will. He's going to put them all in the binder, and he's going to send me those pictures of his parents.
And his grandson's in Denver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
His name's Edward Keating. K-E-A-T-H-I-N-G.
The Jay Gould that put up the money for that mine wasn't the famous Jay Gould from back east.
Yes, that's right.
It was the same one.
That's right.
Good to know.
I never knew much about until this man told me that's the mine. I never knew anything about Jay Gould. I even found a piece of ore in one of the cases up there with his name on. They named the mine after him. And since I've read quite a bit in the papers one thing another, and they were really well-to-do people.
Now you have a sample of the work with his name on it?
Yes, I do.
Did you find this too long? Would you like the door open there, or is it all right
to see? Oh, you might open it a crack, I think. How about you, Les? Are you comfortable?
That would be fine, so fresh air.
I bet you are. Pretty warm.
Did the Carnegies ever have anything to do up in this area? To your recollection?
Not to my recollection. Of course, you see, this history was I was born in 1901. So, see, this history that I know, my folks and my grandparents and all them, was long before I was old enough to know. Silver Creek was not much of a town when I was a girl.
What did your parents do? Now, we've got what your grandparents did.
Well, they lived at Carita on a homestead and farmed.
Mm-hmm.
I have a homestead out there yet myself.
Do you?
Yeah, I own about 600 acres of land out there.
That's a pretty valley. And you come in from the kind of northeast side there.
It's very pretty there on our place in the fall when the accents turn yellow. It's really pretty.
That's a very pretty stretch. Okay, now let's see.
Are you through with that particular line, Rich? Because I'd like to pursue another one here for a minute.
Go right ahead.
Do you know anything about the Medino country?
Medino?
Yes.
No, I sure don't know much about it.
Have you ever met or heard anything about Euless Herard?
No.
We have a man we think that came from over in there, and this is...
Your turn, Doctor.
Mr. who?
Mr. Garrison and Silver Cliff might know. They,
Well, I was here too.
Mrs. Edith is his daughter in the store. And they raised cattle and lived on them in that way. They would know more about the Madden Owen.
And Mrs. Ince is his daughter?
Mr. Garrison's
daughter.
He works here in the store.
And then my brother lives here over the old, was that the Leary Schoolfield Hall?
Is they down here? I thought they were down here.
Can you give us now some information on the remaining buildings in Querida and Rosita, perhaps what they had been earlier, if not used, weren't used for the same thing later? Some of the old buildings there that are still standing.
Well, there isn't much in any of those places left now.
I do recall seeing one that was used in the movie, and they made it into a post office for the movie, I believe.
Yes. But there's part of that still standing there. I think that used to be an old saloon.
The hotel was in that movie, too.
Oh, was it?
Yes. It just looks like a house.
Uh-huh.
It was a two-story house.
Is this the one that's been moved down here since?
No, it's a different one.
Clarence Hunt's parents
lived in it, but it burned down. It's gone now.
It is.
Oh, yes. But now, in the Stampede to Timberline, there is a very good sketch of that old house of Mr.
What about the Putnam Hall? Is it still up
there? It's still there, partly. Yes. There's not much of the Putnam Hall there.
Putnam Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the background on this?
Well, I think it was an old saloon in the early days. The only thing I remember, the post office was right there, close to that. It's still standing there. What's left of it? It's still there where Mrs. Hunt used to have the post office.
And this is right near Putnam Hall. Was this a home,
just
or was
across.
This a
it was just
a little house or what?
Just a little white house.
or this was possibly
the Putnam Hall was where we had a dance that helped this library. It helped the beginnings of it.
Was that right?
That's the only time I know. I went up there to the dance, and all of us helped play, furnished music those who could. It was just, and the people furnished lunches and everything from the neighborhood, and all they gave her lunch.
This was the beginning monies.
That was part of it, yes. The teachers gave two plays. I was out here 3 years, and the first year we didn't. We used the money, I guess, for the county, but the second time, the two plays went. And the money from the Putnam dance, I think we got around $70-some-odd from it. Boy, it was fun. You couldn't dance. It was so crowded, but everybody had a good time.
What year, approximately?
I would say it was about 30. It must have been either in 30 or 31.
Okay.
Because we had to plan the library from
the school.
Yeah, I came out in 28, and then I taught 28 and 29 and 30 and 31.
I think the little jailhouse is still in Rosita, the stone jailhouse. They had school in it in later years. The big schoolhouse got so they couldn't heat it now. And they had school in that little stone house when you had the jail.
Good. The reason I'm asking about this, we want to get pictures of these buildings or the remains of them.
And the schoolhouse in Caritas.
It's the first time I knew of her kids when they said they were going to jail when they met school could really say they were going to jail and leave school.
Do you recall anything as a little house of rough outer timbers right across from the Bassett mine on the west across the road?
That was the Astley office. You mean that with, it's got red iron on it, corrugated iron on it, the windows is out? And
no, this one is, still got windows and stuff because some people in Florence have purchased it.
Oh, now. That's,
Bob Morris's relatives used to have it.
Yeah, that's where Mr. and Mrs. House lived for quite a number of years. And before that, there was, I think that, I can't remember that man's name that lived there in the early days before. He's one of the dwelling houses. And then that little house that's just down below that one that you're talking about was Mrs. Baldwick's house. Her name was Green at the time she owned that house, built in the early days.
This would be kind of north, you mean, down towards the main highway?
North from that was this Baldwick's house. That's where her husband died, I think, in that house.
Yeah, it was Green at that when she
lived
there.
She was Green at that time. Uh-huh.
Which Mrs. Baldwick is this now?
Well,
it was Mrs. Emma Baldwick. She's born.
Is that Bessie's mother?
One of her grandchildren, is it?
Her daughter is Mrs. Blunt.
That's her daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Did the 440 there. That's Stanley Blunt's wife, is that the
name? No, I don't believe that's Stanley Blunt's wife, but it's his brother that's married to Joseph.
I see.
I don't call her Joe Blunt. Let's see.
That's Joe, they called this woman Joe. And,
she was a James.
Mm-hmm. The Jameses lived in Rosita, in Hungry Gulch. They had a big house. As you come out of Rosita, up there's a big long gulch, and that's what they call Hungry Gulch.
Do you know how it got its name?
I don't know, unless some of them prospectors got off of Hungry.
That's what I was thinking. It sounded very picturesque.
I imagine that's what it was.
Do you recall any particular fires you may have had up in Caritas or Rosita?
Well, you know what he ought to do? He ought to get a hold of Pete Cowan for a lot of his Rosita and Caritas stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'll come for him. Pete Cowan's right there. I see him quite often.
Okay, well, how about Mr. Silvercliff then? You know, the fires there.
Well, I guess they had some pretty bad fires in Silvercliff. Of course, we have a great fire team. A great history of our fire team that was in Silver Creek. We had some trophies that won, and they claimed to be the fastest in the state.
I think you have pictures of them.
Oh, we have a lot of pictures of the fire. Postcard rates. We have the old postcards and the old hook and ladder wagon and all that in the museum.
Now, Oscar Phillips was telling us at the house that his father and four other people came by and camped overnight and were planning on mining there at where the Bassick is now. But they got in a quarrel that evening and all split up and moved on different places.
Is that right? This was Oscar
Phillips, yes. He's the one that's in the hospital.
Oh, yes, here it is.
We'll try, and if we can't get him, we'll try and get his sister later.
That was kind of an expensive argument they had then, wasn't it?
There were a lot of those arguments in these mining. There were lots of trouble, and even when they'd go out and stake these claims and then go away, and somebody'd come and jump them, and then they had one real bad killing in Rosita at one time. A fellow went away and left his claim. When he come back, somebody had staked it, and they got into it, and one fellow shot the other.
Do you recall the names?
No, I sure don't. But now I'm telling you Pete Callender. I think that would be your...
I hadn't thought of
Pete. Pete is real good. He remembers all that. And he's been very active in the mining business and all, and he can tell you a lot more about the mining and all these names and all. He remembers them better than I do.
Okay.
Well, I'll see Pete.
If I just had all my history down as it should be, and all, I could write several books, but you know, I never kept it down and kept it straight.
Who does? Yeah, this is always something new.
Of course, after I worked in the museum for a while, you know, I can get so I can really. A lot of them look up at me and say, "Are you telling the truth?" And I tell them there was 5 newspapers, 2 dailies, and 3 weeklies in Silvercliff. But I have the papers and the names of the papers.
Oh, one of the little presses around, I'll put in a little building to still there, or are they? The newspapers
no. I have a register, a Silvercliff register, that gives the names of all of the business houses and the streets and all that. And I have then I think we'll even over at the courthouse to have a flat of the town. You'd be surprised with the streets and what was in Silvercliff.
I know there's many, many miles of water lines.
Yeah, now there's a lady down here in Westcliff that has a hand-painted picture that was up in the Denver Museum for years. A relative of hers painted it, and they finally got it, and she has the picture. The frame is gone, but I told her the picture was what we needed anyway, and it's Silvercliff in its main time, and the houses and all are very clear. I just saw it this morning. I told her someday we'd probably come and get a picture of it.
How large is it?
I would say
about that long.
Good.
Not quite that high. Somewhere on that.
I have a picture in the museum of a freight team leaving to go to Canyon City.
Good.
So that's the way they haul their supplies in. They had, I think, 6 or 8 horses on it, mules and horses. And it's right in front of the museum, the building, you see it hit the thing, and Mr. Farmer from California came up to me. His grandfather was Mr. Foss, and he had a store right next to the museum. And that was where the telephone came, the first telephone that came into Custer County, was up through up by 10 miles, and right into Silvercliff. And that's where him and Mabel Haskell were in their telephone trade. Up in that building there.
Mm. When the first phone came up, you say, now, about when was this?
Well, that building was, the museum was put up in 1879.
Now, it came up from which direction now?
Came up Canyon, up Oak Creek.
Oh.
And when these